Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Marie Claire and the Thinker Girls present
We Need to Talk About. We Need to Talk About. We Need to Talk About.
No, seriously, we actually do. Today's topic:
emotional labour.
A forward from the editor of Marie Claire, Nikki Brigger.
Hi everyone, I'm Nikki Brigger and I'm the editor of Marie Claire, and welcome to our podcast with the Thinker Girls. A year ago, writer Gemma Hartley published an article titled Women Aren't Nags, We're Just Fed Up, which immediately went viral. This story about the rise of emotional labour resonated really with every single woman in the Marie Claire office. The concept refers to the invisible unpaid work that women have done for too long, from arranging play dates and calling the in-laws to buying birthday gifts and doing all the chores. Emotional labour is now being dubbed as the next feminist frontier and is more relevant than ever before as women continue to run the household and have full-time jobs. So are we really taking on too much work, and what can we do about it? I'm pretty passionate about this topic, so I'm joining Stacey and Christy a little bit later on. But first, I wonder what emotional labour means to the Thinker Girls. Over to you.
Today's episode, we're talking about emotional labour. Before we go any further, need a definition.
I would imagine that is that someone is being the person to be like, we probably need to talk about that. Or we've had a fight and you know the right time to talk about it is in 4 days, not in the moment of the fight. Who the F is bringing up the actual – so you can talk about it after the fight and say, let's talk about this in the future. But then the person that actually brings it up in the future is the emotional labour person. Would that be correct?
Well, yeah, I reckon when I think about emotional labour, my thinking about what it means to me in my life would be basically my whole past 9-year relationship. I feel like I was.
It was emotional labor.
I feel like I was the one doing the hard labor.
But what is it?
To me, it was thoughtful things like remember to call your mum for her birthday and doing things like making him be.
Remember to call your mum. That's just called common sense.
But just being in contact, like being almost like a bit of a linchpin, not just for his emotional, not just for my emotional connections with my. Extended, you know, friends and family, but also on behalf of him as well.
Right.
I feel like I was the person often, and it doesn't sound like that much to remember to get a birthday card for somebody, but when you're constantly, I think the goalie or you're the person constantly. And if it goes through, you know, if you're not there, it goes through to the keeper. So knowing that the onus is completely on your shoulders to do all of that kind of, I don't know, like
life stuff.
Beyond your personal day-to-day, anything exterior to what you're doing in your day and what you're eating and you're doing for work, I'll be the person that thinks of everything else.
Yeah. Okay.
In terms of your connections with your family, friends, what we're even doing on the weekend or where we're eating freaking
dinner. So essentially their PA for their emotional stability in relationships.
Yeah, and that's how I felt a lot of the time in that relationship.
Okay, well, let's talk to Nikki herself. This is strange because at the beginning of most of the podcast that we're doing together with Marie Claire, we hear Nikki's voice at the beginning of the show, like almost like the queen, the word of the, you know, good word of the god.
Well, she is that.
That's right. And now you're in the studio with us. Welcome, Nikki.
Hello. Sorry to disappoint you. Yeah, I'm just going to be normal.
It's not disappointment.
Without my studio voice.
It's not disappointment, but it's a different introduction today.
We love both shades of you. Yes. We love like the boss bitch, you know, sitting there, you know, as you type out your letter, but we also love this version of you, the actual real life Nikki.
The real life version. I know, where I'll probably just sit here and bitch about my family life.
Well, let's, okay. So
I will unload.
When you heard our definitions, is there a technical definition or do you think that it varies from couple to couple or relationship to relationship?
I think it probably does vary, but Gemma Hartley, who wrote the book Fed Up, and she's the one that did this whole article, I think it was about a year ago, about emotional labour, and apparently it went viral because mm-hmm. everyone just got so into it and mm-hmm. related. But her definition, which I relate to, is that sort of unseen work that everybody does. So to keep the family going along. So like you said before, remembering to, you know, get the mother-in-law's present when it's actually his mm-hmm. mother. Family presence, not just the cleaning up. It's not just domestic stuff. It's all the other stuff that you have to do. So dentist appointments, taking them to soccer, picking them up, reminding them about, you know, some other appointment that's going on. So it's all the stuff where literally your head explodes and the thing is, they don't necessarily see it. And I think that's the thing, and she says it in her book, that guys don't actually see it.
So like, she's specifically talking about men.
She is so talking about men. Okay, yeah. So she's talking about that traditional family thing right. where relationship, male, female, mm-hmm. couple of kids.
Which in a same-sex marriage could essentially be the more masculine energy, I suppose,
yeah.
whether you're a chick or a bloke.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And it could also be the opposite if you're in a relationship, a hetero relationship, but you just happen to be the more masculine energy
yeah.
as a female, it could still work yeah. that way.
Well, I think what she was saying is that women for generations, and it transcends all cultures, that bit by bit, year by year, chore by chore, they just take on more.
Mm.
And before they know it, the men go, okay, or, you know, that partner go, okay, you can do it. You're better at this. You're much better at this. And so then before you know it, you've taken on everything and it is too much.
Because typically, you know, again, this is generalization, but you would think women, or that more feminine energy as we spoke about in some kind of partnership, would actually be better at remembering those kind of things. I think that's part of the reason, I don't know, you forget sometimes that we're such different creatures in the way that our minds and our emotions kind of work. Typically, we would be better at remembering all of those million and one things, but that doesn't mean we should be doing it.
But exactly. I think that's a very big, it's the majority, but that's why I was getting at the different points and the different roles you can play. I don't think it is just gender, even though I'm sure her studies and research and work is on that. Because in my relationship, I think if anyone, we don't have so much that someone is a crazy standout, but if anyone is too prone to head towards that, the person that kind of picks up the cracks is my husband, more so than me.
Do you know what?
Which I find is quite interesting.
Oh, absolutely. And we were saying this actually on the floor when we were doing the story, that so many people have different examples of it. I mean, for me, I'm a little bit more typical and I do tend to take it up. And it's also because Andrew will walk into – see, I've outed him. He will walk into the, you know, living room and there will be stuff all over the floor. And I'll go, where did the mess come from? And he'll go, what mess? Like he just – he actually – he's not being funny.
It's not
intentional. And I can't really take it out on him. He just doesn't see it. So, I mean, maybe it's my problem for being so particular on these things. And you do have to let go.
And I think as well, it's maybe not that – he necessarily doesn't see it, but he doesn't see it as an issue. Like this morning, for example, I came back from a swim at the beach, kind of got dumped really and had seaweed all over me. And I came and I wasn't planning to go for a swim. So I was in like my bike shorts and whatever. So I kind of took off my clothes and then sat on a cushion on the couch. Now I sat on a cushion because I thought, at least I'm not on the couch because that, you know, seaweed will get on the couch. Because I know my husband's going to say something about it. He comes out, he's like, how the fuck are you sitting on the cushion? And I was like, oh, I didn't sit on the couch. So he comes out with a towel and it's just also a different headspace. Do you know what I mean? Like I thought I was doing something that was actually...
was actually good.
Yeah.
And he saw it as totally
and
different.
And he said,
yeah,
it's just sensible. And I was like, according to you,
yeah,
you know, like this cushion is a buffer to the leather couch. I think that is sensible.
I mean, I think it depends probably on the quality of the cushion. If you were talking a nice $60 cushion from Freedom, I'd be pissed.
And I know I've honed in on a very small story, but I suppose that is also this ability of these different standards of where we sit, and then I think society putting pressure on women to have standards in certain places, even if they may not. If they really ask themselves, really give a fuck, somehow you find yourself in that role.
Yeah. And I do think that things shift when kids come into the picture as well, because Look, when we were just a couple, it was fine.
Yeah.
Like those sort of things, those little nuances and little tasks and annoyances didn't actually worry me as much. But as soon as kids come to the picture, because there's so much more complication and things you've got to remember, that you almost feel like you're at capacity and you cannot do any more. And then you think, okay, well, what if I didn't do it? Okay, so I go away for 2 weeks, right? I'll go overseas or 10 days. And then I go, okay, well, let's just see how things go. And he's like, it's absolutely perfectly fine. We're really, really happy without you.
Don't be too happy, Andrew. Shit.
Exactly. Yeah. Andrew.
Pretend to miss
so
me.
I go to the kids. So, you know, did you actually eat at all over the last 10 days? You know, was there food? Was there lunch? You know, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, there are a few days where we miss lunch. And so I'm there stewing, going, yeah. He thinks that's probably okay, but they were laughing about it. They didn't care.
Mm.
But, you know, that's the thing. It's just not top of mind. And I feel like I would probably never let that happen. Having said that, of course I have let that happen.
Yeah.
But like, hello, not mother of the year, trust
no,
me.
But you're more likely to see
lean
that as
That's right. I brought it up with him and he just started laughing.
But do you reckon the lounge room, the things that get up your goat are because of all the other things?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I never
think it's about the seaweed cushion.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's never about leaving the plate out. But I want to know, Nikki, do you reckon once there's been a dynamic that's been set, can you ever go back? Because it's interesting where you go, when it was just us in our relationship, we were fine, and the dynamic changes once you have kids, things get more complex. You each lean in and lean out of roles, you know, in that kind of setup. And I feel like the longer it goes on, the harder it is to kind of change those habits or go backwards to what it was like when there weren't children.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone through a process where maybe you've tried to work back at, hey, I'm doing too much, can you take a bit of this burden off of me?
I mean, you know, you always have those arguments. But then he points out what he does and then I realise that I haven't seen it.
Mm.
So, you know, I have to slip in some slack on that because he's there. I'm like, I'm doing the pool. Luckily, we've just got a pool, which needs a lot of work, trust me. And then, you know, all the other stuff as well. Then you go, okay, I understand it. But the thing is that women do take on, they do take on that emotional burden and that's all there is to it, all the different things to remember. And it is really tough sometimes.
Do you think it's because the emotional is less visible than the physical? You know, if the other person in the relationship, as whether it be your husband or whether it be Stace, whoever is in the more practical, the doing is easier to see and more tangible to be like, well, I did ABC.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the thing. And you can really clearly mark it. But for, you know, the stuff that I do, you know, and when I think about what I do in the morning while he's having a shower, you know, it's like, getting their stuff ready for school, packing their school bags, getting the recess and lunch worked out, getting their breakfast.
The kids is a game changer.
And that it is a game changer. Yeah. I totally agree. And that's when you just go, well, that's what I just have to do because otherwise it probably won't get done. But then his point is, well, if a lot of it doesn't get done, they can do it. They need to learn to do it. So step away.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's right. Mm. And the thing is, women do need to, I think, step away.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before they get to the fed up stage, you know. But it's difficult because you think, okay, it's just not get, you know, it's not going to get
done. Because
it is
emotional. It's not just packing the lunch, is it? It's making sure your child is fed.
Yeah, correct.
So there's that emotional connection. It's not just going to the $2 shop on your coffee break to buy a card. It's your mother-in-law needs to feel celebrated on her birthday. Like it's that emotional, that deeper level, right?
Correct. And also, you know, the basic thing of wanting to feed your children, you know, wanting to make sure. Whereas he's like, don't sweat it. They'll skip a meal. They'll survive. And they will. But it's just that, you know, you have that basic need. And you're right, it is an emotional thing. Mm. But maybe we just take it on too much.
Well, I think when we're trying to then harness this equality within our relationships, it's important to be able to identify this stuff. Because I do think it's going to be interesting, as I've spoken about what's going on in my house, the change will happen once we introduce children, is that if you are literally feeding them out of your breast, there is a really good chance that you're going to continue to feel compelled to continue to feed them in a different way that your partner who didn't feed them like that. You're going to have very different roles, and I think they're going to be, as you've said, and they are much more kind of not segregated is the word, but defined, you know, and that sometimes isn't always up to you with where you fall naturally. And but then in this day and age, we are equal everywhere outside of that. So then it must be really frustrating for you and for women that feel that those parts of me, I don't think about at work. I don't see myself as that. And actually ourselves getting in our own way of that. But then if it comes so naturally, it's not an easy thing to do.
I know. And I think that you're right. The problem is, well, not problem. The great thing is that women now work. So if you think about your mums.
Well, quite naturally.
Or your grandparents. Yeah. And my mum did eventually work, but not for like 10 years when we were all growing up. And so therefore it was a very kind of, you know, classic 60s, 70s role taking. And even though she's quite a feminist, it was just
it
like
was simpler.
That.
Yeah,
it was simpler and she didn't have the full-time job. So now it is that different layer of complication because women are working, even if it's part-time, it doesn't matter. It's still a lot to think about because then you've got all of the work stresses as well. And I do think it's compounded in recent years, which is why these books are and these essays are resonating, because women are getting a little bit fed up and more of them are taking
well,
it
they're on. Taking on more work, more stuff, but then those things aren't changing.
So then out of that essay and the stuff that you've covered in the mag and the book by Gemma Hartley, Fed Up, like what were some of the takeouts? Was there advice? Were there different?
How does she help?
Yeah, but seriously, what was the approach? Because obviously it's recognised that it's a thing, it's a problem that exists in different ways in different relationships. I mean, were there kind of ways that she advised to kind of
how to?
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing is to point it out as well as much as you can, because, you know, like she says, they don't see it. So that's always a good thing. But without, you know, the trouble is then you sound like the massive nag. So
well,
you've got to be careful with that.
Can I read the front line of her book? She says, in the ultra-viral article, women aren't nags, we're just fed up. So it started as article. Gemma Hartley gave much-needed voice to the frustration and anger so many women feel every day because of that title.
I know. That's exactly right. So it's happening everywhere. That's the thing. But I suppose if you do tell them about it, you step away. You try and be not as hard up about certain things, which actually I am getting better at, I've got to say. That anxiety level, I'm just walking away from it, going, it's just not a problem.
And do you feel better?
Absolutely.
By that? Yeah.
Absolutely. I've been actually working on it, I've got to say, because I do think the problem could be mine as well. You know, that anxiety that builds up from so much stuff to do that, and if you do let some of it go, like, is the world's not going to collapse. You know, you've got to just focus on the stuff that's really important, you know, like, well, I think feeding your kids, just saying.
Yeah.
And sitting on cushions with seaweed butts, definitely top of the priority.
You'll never.
Legit having this
seriously.
And I couldn't make it up.
I know. But, I mean, the thing is that all of the, you know, the how-tos, et cetera, they do, to me, sound really good in theory, but I wonder how much in practice they really work. It is something that we all have to think about.
I think as well, we put a lot of pressure on our relationships to be the ones to work it out. I think if we do sometimes have the ability, which is really hard, particularly if you're a working mum, to sit and try and step up, is what I'm trying to say, above the situation, and you see that the things we've just spoken about is there are cultural differences. There's a shift in feminism. There's a shift in the way we live lives compared to where we started off as natural human beings. You start to take a little bit pressure off what's actually under your own roof and start to think about practical solutions to try and shift it as a team. I think we often, the first thing, whether you've got kids or not, is to put a lot of pressure on you both of you, like, you're not doing this, you're not doing this. And often it could be coming from pressure that is from not within your relationship. Just, it's just life.
Yeah.
It's just the way that's turned out. And we were taught certain things, but we're living certain things.
Yeah, absolutely. You and know? The worst thing is the blame game, you know, like you just so can't easy to help do, it. Oh, it's so easy. And I think you do it with everything. Everyone does it. Yeah. No, you're not doing this. And then everyone's got a different perspective. And you've just got to listen to that other perspective. Because sometimes when I'm in a better mood and I'm more relaxed and I do listen to it, I go, yeah, okay, that's fair enough. That
and
makes
really
sense.
Listen too.
Yeah.
That I know the difference between my listen, my trying to listen, and my listen.
It's, exactly.
So like these levels and the
do you know what?
Always,
it's really good.
Accessible.
It's good to talk about it on a Friday.
I was going to say, what's
wine.
It? I'm a real practical
don't
girl.
Do it on a Monday
so how's
night.
That? Yeah, right.
Yeah, during the week.
But have you learned that? But
have
you learned that the hard way?
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? If you do go out for dinner and have a couple of glasses of wine and talk about it, then it's so much better.
Okay.
Mind you, you're back to square one by Monday and there's, you know, egg on the floor. But, you know, it does help. It definitely helps to talk about it and not do that finger pointing.
I'm getting a sense, though, that it can never, you know, it might never be a solved issue forever, like a tick box kind of thing. Like there will be constant things that will, you know, that you probably have a different value system of, you know, the kids' lunch, for example, or the cushion that, you know, that it'll be an evolving and a constant conversation between your partner.
I think you're right. It's a constant conversation and also telling them, you know, pointing things out and, you know, likewise for him to me as well. I think it's just sort of that real sort of clarity and transparency that needs to happen. But look at it, as you can see, I mean, everyone resonates with it. So it's obviously, you know, completely universal problem and issue. So I wish I did have an answer. I do think though that maybe the younger generations coming through might be better at it. And I think more men are getting involved in all of that stuff. And
well, I think there's just a bit more conversation.
Yeah,
I think
it's so.
It's a little bit, you have, I mean, for me at the moment, I'm talking about things like that before I get into a relationship. You know, people are aware of what they want now.
Yeah, I agree.
I think a lot of people got in and then figured it out.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think that, you know, men are kind of coming through. They want to get more involved with the parent, you know, with the parenting and the children. I mean, not that my husband doesn't.
No,
let me tell
no,
you,
he's
probably been there a lot longer, more than I have actually, because I've been on deadlines and things like that. But there's a difference between being there and being actually present.
I think it's a different beginning. It's not, you know,
absolutely.
You guys have got it sorted, but I think it's a, and you're continuing to sort it as you say, but I think obviously you guys learnt it on the roll. I think now people may be a little bit more educated at the beginning of it.
Absolutely.
So they might be able to catch some stuff.
Hopefully workplaces will help too so that, you know, men get more of that flexi time because they can't at the moment. You know,
it's
they
incredible.
Are.
Yeah, there are realities.
It's really, there's realities. And that's the thing. If you can work out that balance, particularly with work, and men can feel quite confident to go in and say, look, hey, I need to have this afternoon off for this.
And
I'm hoping that is happening. I feel like that is happening.
It's got to come, but it's
got to,
I think it's got to come from employers, but I think it's got to also come from men demanding it as well. You know, like, cause always shift happens when people start asking questions. You know, I think employers often, not always, but will wait until they feel like they've got a nudge to go somewhere before they actually have to do things that make things flexible for their staff as opposed to flexible for them. And I think there's a lot of great employers out there that are probably shifting it, but there's not many. I know a girlfriend of mine, I know her husband looks at it as a real different experience for him to ask his boss for part-time or flexible hours or, and I know he often says, it's just not my job, but it certainly isn't hers, you know, like, and it's just an interesting thing. I think it does start from that real sense of I can ask for this. I should be able to.
Does he think that his boss is going to think badly?
Yeah, because he's a bloke.
And he's not a team player and all that sort of stuff.
And I'm like, welcome to the fucking club. That's what every other woman's thinking. But at the same time, he then thinks, well, but they have to understand it from you. It's discrimination if not. Whereas for me, it's looked upon, it's still uncomfortable and very hard. And that's what I was saying. It's important, I think, to push through that because otherwise nothing's ever going to change.
No, I totally agree.
And
I really do think it's up to that sort of, you know, generation coming through. I mean, millennial dads are now, what, 36 years old? So, you know, we're now talking even Gen Z, but I do think that they are actually getting better at it. And I've even seen it just on the floor here at, you know, at work.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
And they're much more aware and they're taking it on. So it will eventually, you know, we're talking first world.
Yeah.
You know, it will eventually peter out, or at least, you know, the imbalance. Mm. But, yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful.
You know what? I'd like to really throw something on the top. I'm no Gemma Hartley that's written this book on it. However, just a simple thank you every now and then would be nice.
Yeah.
Like from both sides.
Yeah,
just from doing little things. Thanks for doing that. And it makes, you know, it doesn't feel as laborsome if there's somebody just to be like.
Such a good point.
Yeah, that was really nice of you to think of that. Thank you. Thanks for reminding me. I would have forgot.
Or just thanks for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, when you get handed a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A thing is the right word for my meals.
But when they're cooked for you, take what you can get.
Thanks for that thing.
Oh, seriously, I could get toast and I'm like, I don't have to cook. Like, this is excellent, an excellent deal here.
Boiled egg. Bring it on.
Pre-made, I do about 10 on a Sunday. So even if you take the fucking thing off.
The shell.
Yeah, exactly. Or
I'm wrapped.
Or are you foods in the microwave?
Oh, Nikki, thank you.
Thanks, girls.
If you do want to read the book and get annoyed before you get relieved, because I think it could be quite triggering for many people, Fed Up by Gemma Hartley is available at all good bookstores, and we'll put the link in our show notes.
Good idea. No, it is a really good read, and you're right, you do get fed up when you read it. Like it boils within you, but then there are, you know, really good ways of kind of calming it and realizing that you just need to talk about it.
Brilliant. Thanks, Nikki.
Thanks, girls. Thanks, Thinker Girls.
This has been a co-production between the Thinker Girls and Marie Claire.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.